This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
It's that time of the night, the evening, the weekend. Again, it's the Norwich City Fan Show here on Love Sport. I hate to say it, it's not going to be the most cheery of Norwich City fan shows, I suppose, this weekend. Fair to say that most Norwich fans are a positive bunch, but hard to find a lot of good things from yesterday's defeat to Manchester United. 4-0 at the Theatre of Dreams. A Marcus Rashford double, an Anthony Martial header and a Mason Greenwood goal, lifting United back up the Premier League table, but keeping Norwich rooted to the bottom. 7 points adrift of safety now. That win for Watford today at Bournemouth, both a good and a bad result, I suppose, for Norwich. In one sense, you'd say, do you know what, maybe a draw would have been good, but a victory lifts Watford out of the bottom three and keeps Bournemouth firmly rooted within it. They are just 6 points ahead of Norwich City now. And guess what? The two teams meet next weekend. Talk about a relegation six-pointer. It seems like we're talking about that every single week on this, the Norwich City Fan Show here on Love Sport. We're with you through to 10:30 p.m. this evening, getting the views of Norwich City fans about that game yesterday, looking ahead to next week, talking about new signing Andre Duda, of course, coming in from Hertha Berlin on loan until the end of the season, and everything else about the Canaries. Right now, Connor South, well, reporter for Norwich Evening News, and the Pinken is on the line. Hello, Connor.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, not too shabby, my friend. Not the best result yesterday at Manchester United. Had a bit of success over the years at Old Trafford, but it wasn't to be yesterday.
No, I think ultimately it was just a bit too much quality from their opponents for them to bridge. And that's probably been coming for a few weeks, given the way that they've sort of conceded performances and chances, but perhaps not entirely surprising given the squad they've got compared to Manchester United, who I thought were very good yesterday actually, and did a very good job of preventing Norwich from building their attacks in their own half. And so we've got to give credit to them, but yeah, ultimately a poor defeat. I think anything they'd have got from Old Trafford would have been a bonus, to be honest. But as you said at the top of the show, that situation now is looking pretty precarious for them, and their status in the Premier League is definitely under threat. And I think most supporters are slowly getting more real with the situation. And yeah, next week's game does feel a bit do or die for them.
So are we saying that really is the case? A defeat next week against Bournemouth could pretty much spell the end of this season?
Yeah, I think so, sadly. I think... And the frustration with it is really, is that I think I've seen enough from periods within games and within full games themselves that they are very close to being good enough and being a competent Premier League outfit. I don't think we've seen that consistently. And obviously, that when you rely on small margins as they do so heavily, then you're sort of relying on them to go in your favour. And this season they haven't. And I think that is partly down to a lack of quality. Equally, it is down to luck as well. They've had a horrendous injury situation, a few VAR incidents that haven't quite gone in their favour. We're talking millimetres, so it's frustrating, but I think that's the nature of it. I think if they lose next week, then it is very... I mean, it's hard to see a situation where they survive now, to be completely honest, but if they lose next week, then I think that could well be the end, and we could be talking about a long march back to the Championship.
Well, Connor, we often have the guys from Longcombe Norwich on this show, and I sound like a broken record because I always seem to find something. Ever since I was introduced to this term, Longcombe Norwich, I've just been obsessed with it because it always seems to happen week after week. And lo and behold, United hadn't won a game in 2020. Granted, we're not even past January yet, but it was still a statistic. 3 games without a win in 2020. Juan Mata, on the other hand, hadn't provided 2 assists in a Premier League game since October 2012. Remarkably, that was against Norwich. He's gone and bookended it. I just cannot believe this keeps happening.
I didn't actually know that. That's quite something. Yeah, it does. And I think that statistic is probably more daunting when you consider that Bournemouth are in free fall at the moment. I think a bit of me is expecting them to turn up and be a really slick outfit next week and have all the parts moving in the right direction and come and look a really good football inside. That would just be Norwich's luck, to be honest. But yeah, you're quite right. They do have a habit of even going back years, I can remember players who perhaps haven't scored for their clubs or are a bit on a or on a bit of a barren run, and they pop up with a goal or two against Norwich. So yeah, it's funny. It always seems to happen with a club. And like I said, no doubt Bournemouth will rock up next week, and they'll be looking at much better football inside.
It could have of course been a little bit different. Todd Cantwell with a great chance and a great save from David De Gea, it has to say, one that he probably needed to make in terms of the rest of his season at Manchester United. But Cantwell coming very, very close. You almost think he hit it too cleanly. You needed to take a leaf out of Alex Tetti's book with that goal he scored last time at Old Trafford.
Yeah, that would have been helpful. But yeah, that's another example, isn't it, of the small margin that I spoke about earlier on. I think those moments in games where they haven't been quite clinical, and we've seen it in recent weeks where they've been 1-0 up in games and just haven't been able to find that second goal, despite against Tottenham, which they did. But obviously, we won't go into that with VAR. But no, look, it's been a difficult year for them, and it's difficult to see the tide turning to an extent where they can keep their head above water. But I think the disappointment from yesterday was that the performance wasn't really there. In recent weeks, we've seen the performance, and there'd be at least some positives to cling on to. I thought yesterday there were very few, to be honest. And I think it's a shame. And the fans were brilliant yesterday. And there was a nice video that we pushed out yesterday that showed pretty much every single supporter who travelled to Old Trafford remained in their seat till the end. And all the players came over to the corner after the game, which is always tough after a 4-0 defeat. And the fans were brilliant and sang their hearts out and sang them off the pitch. And I think the players were a bit taken aback by that. But that sums up Norwich's support. And whatever happens, they won't go down without a fight. But it's looking increasingly difficult for them, sadly.
Yeah, absolutely is. And you're right in terms of positives. Difficult to take anything really from yesterday. Adam Eder, at 18 years old, playing at Old Trafford, I guess that was a plus. But often we speak on the show about the fact that Norwich have always been there or thereabouts in the majority of games. I know got beaten soundly against Liverpool in the first game of the season, beaten convincingly against Aston Villa. But bar those two, you've been pretty much in games, I suppose, or at least have given it a fight, just narrowly losing out in games. But yesterday, that just really wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't. And I think that Villa game you mentioned is probably a bit of a standout anyway, because they had so many injuries. And I think on reflection, that probably wasn't a 5-1 game. I think Villa were just very clinical on the day. But yeah, yesterday was poor. And the thing for me, and you mentioned that Cantwell chance, if they would have scored that, the game could have turned, because before that, they really struggled to gain any sort of oxygen, to be honest. They were camped in their own half and was sloppy in possession, and what that would have done perhaps was installed some belief, because they looked like a team who lacked that, and to me looked like they lacked a bit of confidence and didn't really feel like they belonged there at Old Trafford against the calibre of opponents they were facing. But yeah, it's difficult, because they've got to pick themselves up and go again next weekend. And as we've mentioned, it is such a massive game for them, because it is, they're operating now where they need wins, and they're operating in a currency of wins. And ultimately, if they don't win next weekend, then any sort of slim chance they've got at the moment, and it is very slim, is going to be non-existent. So they've got to pick themselves up. They've got to do some work in training, and they've got to get back to what they were doing. Because I think in certainly yesterday, but equally in some matches going back as well, that they seem to have lost a little bit of their identity, and I think they need to get back to that. And even if they're going to lose games, I always say there's a way to lose, and yesterday wasn't the way to do it, I don't think.
I know Daniel Farker is always very honest after games, speaks quite openly in his post-match interviews. And one quote that got me, and I don't want to read too much into it, and I don't want to be harsh on him, but it did make me chuckle, is that he said, "I was pleased with the reaction at 4-0. Well, okay, Daniel, that's great, mate, but you're 4-0 down. So yes, he said the players stuck together for the last 20 minutes, but I thought that was quite funny. I was pleased when we were 4-0 down.
Yeah, I think that's him trying to extract any sort of confidence he can out of the performance. But yeah, I think it's easier to perform at 4-0, isn't it? You've got no expectation. I think Manchester United took their foot off the accelerator somewhat. And to be fair, they did have a flurry of chances. Christoph Zimmermann had a shot from 25 yards. They probably had more shots in that period than they did in the entire game. But as I said, it's easy to sort of start playing at 4-0 when there's no expectation and no pressure. The key is to do it in crucial moments in games. And they've not quite done that enough, but yeah, I do feel for Daniel Farke, because he's been in a situation where he's not had sort of any money to spend. not for his own fault. I mean, he was obviously fully aware of the situation when he came in and arrived as Norwich head coach, and equally the horrendous injury situation which they've had, which has been probably as bad as I can remember in terms of having one fit centre back at one point. And obviously they've still got two out at the moment in terms of Ben Godfrey and Tim Closer, who's a bit more long term. So yeah, things just haven't gone in their favour this season, and you have to feel for him, and for the squad actually, because last season was such a brilliant adventure and they played such brilliant football, and their individual stories were so brilliant because a lot of them have been players who have been sort of put on the scrap heap elsewhere. So it is a shame, but ultimately they just lack a bit of quality, and I don't think it's anything more sinister than that, to be honest.
And Aston Villa today, Connor, tried their hardest to relieve you of the stat that's doing the rounds. They lost 6-1 at home to Manchester City, but still just 43 goals conceded from them this season. It's 45 for the Canaries, more than any other team in the division. And we're going to get on to new signing Andre Duda after the ads. But do you think that Farker should maybe be looking at a defender rather than an attacking midfielder in terms of reinforcements this January?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they probably are actively looking for a centre back. I think it's a funny situation though, because even if they do sign one, and let's say it's a loan deal to the end of the season, they've got a situation where come March they could have five fit centre backs. So it's a difficult one to get right, because even though they're sort of thin on the ground at the moment, in a couple of months they might not be. And equally, the club's position, I think, and you mentioned Duda there, but I think it is going to be difficult for them to recruit players, because ultimately you've got to sell being bottom of the division and 8 points cut adrift in a position that no other club has ever survived from before to a possible new recruit, which is going to be very difficult. So I don't think they're going to be able to be too choosy over who comes in. I think they may have to work their way down a long list of targets before they reach to one that potentially wants to join, and I think the loan market is going to be key for them, as we've seen already with Duda arriving from Hertha. So it could be a long window, but I think if they get a couple more bits of business done and obviously retain their young talent, then I think that'll be job done for this window.
Lovely stuff, Connor. Great having you on, as always. Just before you go, like we said, big relegation six-pointer, a must-win for Norwich next week at Carrow Road against Bournemouth. Quick prediction from your boss.
I think it's going to be two teams who are really nervy. I think Norwich can't seem to buy a win, and Bournemouth can't seem to stop losing. So I think I'll sit on the fence and go for a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw. Lovely stuff. Connor Southwell, reporter for Norwich Evening News and The Pinken. Thank you very much for joining us. Tough times for the Canaries, isn't it? Like you said, history will need to be made if they are to stay up this season, and that is a hard sell for any potential incomings in January. Next up, we're going to be speaking to Chris Reeve from Talk Norwich City. A bit more reaction to the game, looking ahead to the game against Bournemouth, and speaking about that new man, Duda.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It is our Sunday night fan show special here on Love Sport. Currently speaking all about the Canaries, Norwich City. 4-0 defeat yesterday at Old Trafford to Manchester United. That leaves them 7 points adrift of safety. It is a difficult task for Daniel Farker and his troops, which he is starting to reinforce. Andre Duda coming in on loan from Hertha Berlin. He's had a bit of a troublesome campaign for the German outfit, so happily moving over to Norwich City. Not quite yet match fit. It'll be interesting to see whether he's ready for the game against Bournemouth. Right now, we have Chris Reeve on the line from Talk Norwich City, speaking all about the game yesterday and looking ahead to that clash with Bournemouth, and a bit about Duda as well. Why not? Chris, hello.
How are you doing, guys? Thank you so much for having me on, as always.
Lovely to have you on, boss. Now, we spoke about the game in the first half of the show, but it would be remiss of me not to ask you your opinion. 4-0 at Old Trafford yesterday. Not the best afternoon for the lads.
Yeah, a lot of the neutrals will look at it and go, oh, Norwich lost again. But we've put together a string of really good performances, albeit without points, but some really good draws. Arsenal, Tottenham, Palace. We should have beaten all of those three, actually. Go away to Old Trafford after winning away at Preston the Cup. Chest puffed out. But I think really the golf and quality was shown. And Manchester United at the end of the day are Manchester United. And we're Norwich. And we're still little old Norwich coming to town, having having only spent £750,000. And it's tough for us. And we made a couple of poor errors. We weren't carrying the ball in midfield like we have been. We had our lowest possession stats that we've had all season, pretty much more or less because I'm a bit of a stat man. All of the stats were down from the last two, three, four games. So it's a really, really off-colour day for Norwich. It's really worrying. And quite frankly, we absolutely have to beat Bournemouth. I know we talk about must wins, but the players now, it's now up to the players to prove to the Norwich fans that they're not waving the white flag.
Absolutely, mate, 100%. And that game is a relegation six-pointer. Absolutely, we'll get onto that maybe a bit later in the show. But you mentioned the magical figure there. I don't know if it is a magical figure, really, that 750 grand spent on Sam Byram. The squad has been added to today. No money spent, only on wages. But Hertha Berlin midfielder Andre Duda has arrived. He's on loan for 6 months until the end of the season. What do you make of this one?
I'm really excited about it, actually. To be honest with you, I'm excited about any reinforcements that Norwich bring in. Because of our situation, I think we need to inject some new life into the squad, some energy, some pace. This guy can take a kick, which is fantastic. And this is a classic Norwich signing. This is a player that's kind of fallen out the tree a little bit at their football club. Someone with a point to prove. We've done this plenty of times before. Of course, famously, Timu Pukki, but we've also had Tom Tribal. There's a ton of Norwich players that have come in the last few seasons from even third and fourth division German teams that have got that raw talent, but a bit rough around the edges. And Daniel Farke teaches them the Norwich way and carves diamonds out of them. We had a really unfortunate signing with Patrick Roberts in the summer. It hasn't worked out, and that is the gamble that Norwich play with our transfer policy. Sometimes we find these diamonds, sometimes they're complete flops, and a lot of teams will look at that and go, well, why don't you just sign a decent, experienced Premier League player? Well, first of all, we can't afford it, and second of all, it just doesn't fit with our philosophy. So I'm very excited about seeing Duda come in, and hopefully he can make a difference, and hopefully we end the season with pride. I just hope that we don't drown now. I hope that we don't just, you know, wave the white flag and give up. I genuinely believe that if we beat Bournemouth, we then go away to Tottenham to play in that fantastic new stadium. And who knows, if we somehow get a miracle win away at Tottenham, two or three wins on the bounce in the Premier League, and all of a sudden, and I know it's the hope that kills, but then we've got a chance again.
Yet you never know, and this guy could well be the catalyst. Now, Chris, I know that we like to remain positive here on the Norwich City Fan Show, and yourself as well with Talk Norwich City. I know Norwich City fans are generally, for the most part, quite a positive bunch of fans. But I have to say, just reading into the quotes given by Duda today, I'm not 100% wholly inspired by this, because he said the main reasons are it's a nice club. We all get that about Norwich City. Sometimes people label it too nice. But he said, the league and my situation at my ex-club, it was the reason I wanted to change club. He said, when we talked, it was clear that I wanted to come here. I'm going to do my best, but first of all, I need to get into match rhythm. We'll see. I hope we're going to take some points. In the end, hopefully everyone will be happy. I mean, I know that players come into clubs and they have to basically toe the company line and do the usual stuff, but I don't know, that doesn't massively inspire me.
It's interesting. I wouldn't read too much into it. I know, having obviously a relationship with the media guys at the football club, how they're very, very much, you know, open doors policy. They're not going to make their players give cliche answers. Ultimately, this guy has exactly what I said earlier. He's got a point to prove, and if he can have a good 6 months with us in the Premier League, who knows? Well, first of all, we could actually somehow survive, in which case we'll probably end up signing him. And if we go down, then obviously he's done himself well. I don't think it leaves Norwich in a poor situation. And he's in with a good crop of lads. There's no one in that camp now that's there for the Premier League big bucks. And previously, Norwich has suffered with that, where we've signed the likes of Leroy Fer, for example, and bless his heart, Ricky van Wolfswinkel, who only scored one goal famously. Yeah. These are guys that they'll just hop and jump between Premier League clubs, enjoy the Premier League big bucks and bugger off. And Norwich City isn't about that anymore. So I'm not worried about that quote at all.
Yeah, he's certainly got something to prove, hasn't he? And he is an attacking midfielder. My only, not bugbear with this signing, but my slight reservation is Is that a position that Norwich needed to strengthen? There's been talk of potentially another goalkeeper. There's been talk of a centre-half, maybe more of a box-to-box tenacious midfielder, even another attacker to assist Teemu Pukki and Todd Cantwell up front. An attacking midfielder, is that the type of player that Norwich needed?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm reading into it as actually there could be a couple of outs. Possibly in January, probably in the summer. There's a few players that are kind of on the edge of glory at Norwich. There's Moritz Leitner, who, of course, Borussia Dortmund, exceptional calibre in terms of talent. But this season has kind of rocked the boat a little bit. There's been a bit of a poor vibe going on. So we could see him leave. Marco Stiepermann, unfortunately, hasn't been able to remain at the top of his form that he enjoyed in the Championship. So there's a couple of attacking midfield players there that might be on their way out. And then, of course, we've got Todd Cantwell. And any time a big club could go in for him, pay some big bucks, and then all of a sudden we're left with nothing. It's probably come a little bit sooner than the other players, and then that's why people are like, what? You don't need that. You need a defender. I doubt we'll sign a goalkeeper, by the way. I think that's rubbish.
Yeah, I agree. Tim Krul, quite clearly, the undisputed number one there. You've got McGovern, obviously, in backup at this stage of the season. Probably don't need one. You mentioned the Stiepermann there as well. Just a quick note, by the way. I like to refer to them as the Ermans of Norwich. Stiepermann and Christoph Zimmermann. 27 today, Zimbo. So happy birthday to him.
Indeed.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Nice little touch. Just thought I'd chuck that one in there.
Yeah, no, thank you. He almost gave up football, by the way.
Really?
And that's a really big point, is that a lot of fans that have been slagging off Norwich, this is, you know, fans of other clubs, but I don't think they realise just how big this mountain has been to climb for Norwich. And considering our performances... And this is why Danny Farke isn't to blame, because literally the club have had to only spend the amount that they've got, which is obviously nothing, more or less in the Premier League terms, and have still kept ourselves in the room. You know, we're not Derby County at the bottom of the league, dead, relegated, rolled over already. There is still hope. So, exactly. And Christoph Zimmermann is an example of a player that really... it's just unbelievable that he's playing the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? So it's almost above and beyond that he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And just to finish, we did mention the game against Bournemouth next week. It is a relegation six-pointer. Now, for Norwich, one victory from the last 17. A great victory, of course, against Manchester City. For Bournemouth, getting hammered today at home to Watford. They've now lost 9 of their last 11 Premier League matches. They're second from bottom, 6 points ahead of your fine selves. This game is massive.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I went away to Brighton and of course we drew, and it's something that is shocking. It's a shocking result. They were there for the taking, absolutely should have beaten them, and we didn't, and it's been the story of our season. So quite frankly, if Norwich don't win next weekend against Bournemouth, I think a lot of hope will be lost. Most hope will be lost, if that makes sense. And I think a lot of players will probably be like, well, let's just see what we can do now. And that's a horrible mentality to have. So, you know, you've got to beat the Bournemouths at home. You have to. And it's with no disrespect to Bournemouth, but the form they're in at the moment has been abysmal. And I know ours has been as well, but our performances have been probably better. And that's why we absolutely have to beat Bournemouth. I really hope that the atmosphere is up at Carrow Road, and fingers crossed we can get the 3 points.
Duda to pop up with the winner, mate. I'd say has to be 20 on the 25th minute as well. He's 25 years old. He's taken the shirt number 25. Hopefully he's going to score in the 25th minute.
Ooh, get your bets on that.
Chris, thank you very much for joining us, boss.
Cheers, boys. On the ball, City.
Lovely stuff. On the ball, City. What a great way to finish an interview there. Chris Reeve of Talk Norwich City. Just reflecting on that 4-0 defeat to Manchester United yesterday, which leaves Norwich bottom of the Premier League table. It is quite... the tough task for Daniel Farke and his men. But Andre Duda, perhaps he can turn the tide. Not potentially what Norwich needed, an attacking midfielder, when you look at the, not wealth of options in that position, but they've got a fair few players who fit that bill. It is defence, and like Chris and Connor both said, they do believe that reinforcements are going to continue to come in January, and a few players, Stieperman being one of them, potentially moving out of that door. Big relegation six-pointer with Bournemouth next weekend. We'll be back, as always, here on the Norwich City Fan Show on Love Sport to give you all the reaction to that one. 10 p.m. next Sunday. We will see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.